Hey, good evening, everybody. It's Thursday, February 22nd, 2017, and this is our Committee of Safety meeting this evening. Welcome, everybody. I believe you can unmute yourself if you want to. I just wanted to get everything quiet there. Sorry to cut you off, Ollie. You're doing good there. I think... Can you unmute yourself? I didn't lock everybody up, right? You can just hit star. I think if you can star one, you'll unmute. Lots of things going on. Everybody is, should be excited with all the stuff that's going on and busy. Ollie and I have certainly been busy, working on the NLA news site. We've certainly made good headway, and we're getting ready to debut it. Lots of stuff out there that, we're going to put out that should be helping you with your COSs and that. Hey, Jan, can you hear me? Am I coming in?
Yes, you're coming in fine.
Okay, good. We want to keep up with the current events that's going on, and we want to, Donald Trump's doing a lot of stuff, and part of the strategy that we have to have, and part of the whole Committee of Safety thing of helping to bring back the constitutional government is that we participate in these things, bringing back the rule of law. And that, there's a lot of noise that the other side is putting out there. They're putting out a lot of crazy articles, and they're really working very hard to undo anything that he's done. And it's really up to us to get out there in our communities and to start pushing back. He's brought the top down. It's up to us to bring the bottom up. And so that's what this is all about. Now, you see all these crazy things out there that never get responded to. I was just talking to Ollie and Jan about an article that came out. Total misinformation on things, of what's going on. They got to bring up stuff and then throw a bunch of propaganda in there, trying to undo and regain the ground that they've lost and discredit us before we even get started. So that's why we have to be active in our communities. That's why you need your committees of safety. And that's one thing that NLA is going to help facilitate, and that's one thing that we will do. And, we need to respond to some of this stuff. I mean, that's part of what this NLA news thing is going to do. And, we get people used to going in there and looking for that, and we can make an effect by responding to some of this garbage that they're throwing out there that never gets responded to. I always got a kick out of, they say, you can't pay attention to the internet. There's a lot of misinformation out there. Well, there's a lot of truth out there too, And the trouble with the managed news media is nobody comes on and corrects them. When the talking heads get up there and they say baloney, the next day there isn't 40, 50, 60, 100 people going there. Well, that's baloney because this, and that. Today we're blessed with the internet, and so that type of thing can happen as long as we use it. And so, the technology today is really helping us. As much as it can lock us down, it's a double-edged sword. It's up to us to use it for that purpose, So even getting your committees of safety together, I don't know how many of you guys are using Meetup, but you should get accustomed to Meetup. That's how we built NLA with Meetup. It's a good service, and if you don't know how to use it, you should ask because all us NLA old timers, that's where we, or long timers or whatever you want to call us, that's what we use to start this thing. You go in there, you put in Liberty Groups, you look in your area, you put in a zip code, you put in the different groups that you look for Second Amendment groups and all that type of stuff that there's people who are on the, you know, look, there's no sense in throwing your pearl before swine. So you're going to look for people who are predisposed to your message with committees of safety and stuff, you know, and that's how you do it. People say, oh, I don't have anybody, I don't know. Well, that's one way you sift through the mess to figure out. And then you go to those meetings, or you sign up for them, you find out who's on there, and you start collecting people that way. And it works. I know it works because we did it. And NLA is proof that it works because that's how we built this thing. And, I mean, we still have people coming into meetup joining NLA, so that's the other proof that it works. So I seriously suggest that you get on. Go ahead. Who's that? But at any rate, you know, meetup is everywhere. I mean, you can go out, you know, like I know, like in the more sparsely populated areas, you have to go out more, you know, more miles, and you can tell it to go out 50, 100, 200, you know, but that's okay too. You can network with the counties around you and the states around you, you know, if you're out west and you're sparsely populated, that's what you do. I mean, we even did it here. We teamed up, you know, three different counties that were close, you know, by the geography and the demographics of where people go and shop. And we just know, you know, people from this county always end up in that county. So it's easy to collaborate with them. And so there's lots of places like that, and lots of opportunities to do that. So anyway, you know, the more we grow in NLA and the more things we do, it will help facilitate what you're doing out there in the street, you know, where the rubber meets the road. So that's what we're hoping for. Ollie and I have pretty good big hopes on this NLA news. You know, we got some research going on. We want to comment on these articles. We want to be able to come out there. We want to be able to do breaking news and things like that, you know, and respond to them immediately, you know, stick them right back out in their faces. So, you know, same thing, like, you know, don't forget in your local community. I think we talked about this last week. I don't remember specifically, but I know I talked about it before. You have public broadcasting stations that are your stations. They're paid for by your tax dollars, and they have to give you time. So go in there and get some time. I mean, people used to just bring in videos, you know, like they, a lot of the, what's his name there? I can't think of his name. We featured him on our NLA site. We used to play his video. We played things like Zeitgeist. We'd give the guy, I want to play this video at this hour. And, you know, you got to put in for time, and sometimes it's late night, but you'd be surprised how many people stay up to watch that stuff, you know. But they have a studio, and you can go in there and you can use the studio. You can either play tapes, or you could actually do filming. I mean, I was featured on the one down in Manhattan and one up here in Woodstock, New York, where the guy was able to go in and broadcast, you know, shows. And we did, that's what we did once a week. We'd go on and do that stuff, and the local issues would be there. And it kills those guys when they're making stupid decisions and you're talking about them, and the people in the street are hearing about them. It shines the light on it. But if anybody can, is the door outside?
Yeah, there's a car.
Oh, somebody's at my door. I don't know if you hear my dog barking, but he's distracting me. So I don't know if anybody else has anything, but the floor is open, so feel free to participate.
Is somebody picking up?
I have to go answer the door. Somebody's here, so I'm gonna mute out for a minute. Yeah, just go ahead and have some free talk or bring up a subject. I'll be right back.
Don't be shy, folks. If you have a question, now's the chance to get it in.
Sorry about that, folks. I'm back. Got people coming and going here. I went out of business, and sometimes they pick up cars late. They don't tell me, and the dog goes crazy. Then I got to get my guns out and everything. You know, it's hard living in the country like this. So anyway, I don't know. Doesn't look like anybody's talking. What am I going to carry the whole hour here? It's 9:23. So. Let's see what we got here. Just bear with me a minute. I'll bring this up. We'll talk about... Oh, I lost my screen. The computer's being squirrely again now. I guess, let me see, let me turn off.
There you go. Now we can actually talk to you.
Hello.
I was shouting at Jan through Skype, hey, man, tell him to unmute us. I'll get us on.
I thought if you hit start, we got everybody okay.
Just talk to share. Gotcha.
I was going to say something about what you said there, Mr. Gerard. I heard on a talk show today online, they said, you know, the mainstream media is basically on a cardiac arrest machine right now, about ready to die, but there's so much fake news out there. You mentioned fake news earlier that it's getting to the point where people are swimming so much in fake and real news that determining what it is almost impossible. But I think, you know, you guys getting that studio up and maybe mimicking to a degree the Informed New Hampshire type format and doing some original things of your own, of course. If that show can be networked properly and start to take off, and like you said, getting people directed to that, alternative media is obviously not going to die. It's actually overtaking the mainstream media. We know that. So it's just a matter of getting people tuned into it. But even so much of the alternative media is nothing but a rehash of garbled information, some of it real and some of it fake. So it's just so important, this aspect of what we're doing, I think.
Yeah, and I'll be honest with you. I think most people have already fleshed out the areas where they get their news. I haven't watched mainstream news in years. My television isn't even hooked up. So I use the internet. And so what happens is, yeah, I know that some of them are no good, but there's certain areas and certain internet sites that I grab some stuff from, and they're accurate, and people are retuning into them because they're always accurate. And so I think everybody's been doing that for a number of years, and that's why the mainstream media is dying, because people aren't depending on it. What's that? So I think if we can build something up and build up our credibility, and especially what I'd like to do is take apart some of these misinformation stories, like one that Ollie and Jan and I went through tonight. They rehashed this story about the sovereign citizens killing those two cops. My goodness, that was back in 2010, and how Donald Trump's ignoring the domestic terrorists, and he's going only after the radical Islams, and that's terrible, and all this stuff. And they got all these fake statistics from the Southern Poverty Law, and they're acting like we got an epidemic, and they're using words that talk about people who are against they think that they're constitutionally exempt from laws. And I made the point that, yeah, we are constitutionally exempt from unconstitutional laws. They're absolutely right. You see, they they're using all this terminology, and they talk about, and paper terrorists. So they're putting all these buzzwords in. And basically what they're doing is they're trying to build up a resistance to who we are and what we're doing. And they're already trying to program the people into calling us paper terrorists, and people who don't think that they have to follow the law because of the Constitution. Now, the Constitution is the law. And they're trying to separate it, there's this law, and then there's the Constitution, and we sovereign citizens, we think we're constitutionally exempt from following any laws. That's not true. That's a separate law. Well, if that's a separate law and it doesn't fall under the Constitution, then it's unconstitutional. And so therefore you are exempt. So, they're playing games. They're playing word games, and they're playing mind games. And it's up to us to push back, because you can't have, the Washington Post and all these liberal news medias putting all this crap out there, and then nobody ever pushes back and says anything. So that's one of our jobs to do. And you can do it on a local level. You can do it with your school board, with your town board, and all this stuff on a local level. I mean, the public broadcasting system is very, very powerful in a local area. You should learn how to get in there, find out who's running the thing, and start putting some of your own programming in and start running some stuff, and look at, you got local issues. You put them on there. May have a round table discussion. You'd be surprised, or just comment figure out some things and bring up the issues and see what happens.
Hey, George.
Yeah.
Yeah, regarding your show and local broadcasting and getting some programming on there, I mentioned this in a recent call, I think maybe last Thursday. I could foresee the opportunity to take your guys' national broadcast once you get that software and computer studio system set up, and then rebroadcasting that in local markets, and then having a way to tweak that to lead people. This is just an idea I'm throwing out here. Lead people towards a local county organizer to try to funnel people into committees of safety. Hey, if you want to find out more about what we're talking today, or if you're interested in contacting like-minded people, or some kind of blurb, that would inspire them to go check out this site. Now, you could direct people to the national site, of course. And ultimately, that's probably the reason we're reviving all these county coordinators, district coordinators and so forth. But even on a county level, being that it's local broadcasting, it sounds like a possible idea. I don't know. What's your thought?
Absolutely. Because, we're going to try to tape everything and put a YouTube up. And anybody can grab that and then use that in their own. If they want to rebroadcast it, they can grab it. They can take a piece of it. They can take the whole thing. and then they can rebroadcast it on their local station. You know what I'm saying? They can go into their public broadcasting. They can play that video. I mean, look at you could cut CDs or DVDs off of these things. You can do whatever you want. You know, you could use any of our content. If it's the national, you could cut it up and use it for a local thing if you wanted. You could take a piece of it. I mean, look at there are so many people, children especially, that are technologically able to add things to these videos. So mm-hmm. if you like a show or something, you can grab it, and then at the end of it, you can put your local number. You're interested, call so-and-so, or we have meetings here, and put your local information down and bring them into your local committee of safety. You know what I'm saying? So you mm-hmm. Look at the possibilities are endless. You can use it any way you want. But, you know, I mean, we're certainly going to allow people to use our content to bring more people in to NLA and into their local committees of safety, and just to enlighten even local officials on certain issues. And some issues are local and they're national, and some are very much just local. So, you know, look, I think once people start learning how to do that stuff, they'll even be making their own videos and running their own public broadcasting stations. That's my hope, that everybody connects in again and starts using this, you know, this local bandwidth that they provided, that when nobody uses it, they end up giving it to the commercial stations, and they end up using it commercially, even though it's public broadcasting. Because if you don't look at it, it's one of those things. If you don't use it, you lose it. And we have people that certainly know how to do that. You know, that's what we learned on that down the rabbit hole thing that I went on. Those guys were very much activists into the public broadcasting station, and taught me a lot of stuff about that, you know, that I had no idea on. You know, instead of them having just the school board meeting on there, that's what you usually find on those stations when you go there. You know, you find this, you know, all this gobbledygook. I mean, it's nice, it's local, and people tune into it because little Johnny, you know, who's their kid, you know, they feature them, you know, the concert they gave at the school. But that's okay too, because, you know, if people are tuning in to see their kid on TV, and then you come back to back with that, and you run your local news story, you got local people. That's what you want, you know. So try to utilize that. I mean, just go and find out who's running that station. And like I said, if you're not a talking type person, you can throw videos. You can throw NLA videos up there. I know one guy. He put all of what's his name's videos up there that we have on NLA. Why can't I think of his name? The gray-haired, bearded guy that. Come on, help me out, Jan.
G. Edward Griffin.
Yeah, that's it. G. Edward Griffin. He put them on, the whole series of them, you know. And you'd be surprised. People have not been exposed to that stuff. You know, and you throw it on, and they're up there. They can't sleep at night, and they turn that thing on, and then they go, "Wow, I never knew there was any of this stuff around." You know what I mean?
Hey, Gerard.
So, yeah.
I just wanted to help clarify something on: is it cable access systems you're talking about? Public access?
Yes, public access cable, they have to by law give us so many channels. But we're starting to lose them because we're not using them.
Right. I have a long history going back with this. I studied with them and got a multi-camera event and different things at the same time I was at Bennington College studying new media. And their funding is interesting to look at because they are dependent entirely on the cable system, on the cable you know, income and health. So I would say leverage that for now, because it's probably a dinosaur. You know, people are giving up cable. But it's really interesting, because exactly right, it's open to everyone. And if you don't do something, you know, it's just going to be turned into drivel. But
Absolutely.
The only other thing I wanted to bark out there for folks is I've been putting some of the better episodes of our Mondays and Thursdays on Facebook. So if you look me up on Facebook at William Blake and you want to join me, you know, just say you're from NLA, I'll let you right in. You know, new media is amazing. We should convert things to YouTube videos and such so that they can just be repackaged and relinked out with short links and all the little niches that we all frequent that aren't NLA. And you're right, you know, it gets mixed with people's content. And then they're with us. They're with the program. So
yeah, I think we're missing the boat if we don't do that. I really do. I think, yeah. You know, look at let's step up into this 21st century and use the tools that are at hand. You know, that's what Donald Trump's doing. Look at he learned how to tweet. I mean, look at he's not a young guy. He's in his 70s too. And he
you know they censored one of his tweets today.
Did they censored it? No, come on.
They censored the president's tweet.
No.
I swear to God. And David Seaman is doing great work on Pedogate and all this other stuff, and he's just right in their face. And they let him back into his Twitter account today, but they forced him to delete 4 tweets before he got on, and before they would let him in to edit his own Twitter feed again. And he was concerned that it was like he picked on the Rothschilds. And it wasn't the Rothschilds being thin-skinned. It was this other jerk from the, you know, usual suspects in the land of CNN that he'd been picking on, I believe. So that'll just show you that, you know, you're up against a media cabal that is so tremendously upset. And I believe that... Old Obama just said something really ridiculous just very recently on Twitter, and they didn't mess with that. He said you should remove Trump by any means necessary. Now that sounds treasonous.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Yes, it does. And you know,
Podesta needs to be friggin' arrested right away. Podesta is just the garbage can.
Hey guys, it's like I said, the mainstream media, the CIA, deep state operatives, and the federal financial bureaucracy are the three main enemies that Trump will have to disarm or get rid of, or we got a tremendous uphill battle that is going to be nearly impossible to win. That's just my opinion. But yeah, if fake news isn't taken under control, if the enemy state, or I call them the fourth branch of government, mainstream media, if they're not brought under control, I don't know how Trump will have any kind of a real opportunity to help us restore our republic, because they can destroy a president, pretty much.
I'll tell you, tonight, did anyone listen to the Mike Pence at CPAC? If you haven't heard that speech, it's phenomenal. Trump gave an excellent speech, and many people talked about it. It was excellent. This was phenomenal. And he went through item by item, Common Core, you name it, all the way through. We're done with it. We're done with the health care. I mean, but then he, several times in his speech, he mentioned, we need you, the people. You need to take action. The game is on. Take action. Get in the game. And it was a phenomenal speech. I encourage everyone to listen to it if you have a chance. I'm sure it'll be posted many places.
And that's exactly what we're talking about. He's talking to us. You know, it's like, hello. It's that's us.
Right.
They need the bottom to come up. We are the bottom. We are where the rubber meets the road. And I got very encouraged listening to Trey Gowdy the other day, because he said something like, what was the terms he used? He talked about, he said, in the real world, talking about us, which made me realize that he realizes that he's living in a certain bubble, and he understands that as a congressman, you know, he's talking about Trump, how he's speaking to the real people. And how we're not used to people speaking this way. We're not used to talking to judges like that, and we're not used to talking to politicians as politicians, to being able to talk like that. And he said, but in the real world, and that means he understands that there's like us and them, and that Donald Trump is appealing to the man in the street. And the fact that Trey Gowdy made that distinction makes me understand that he understands that there's another world out there. You know, he's up there making rules and stuff. He's in Congress. He has to understand what's going on in the street. Their biggest problem is they become disconnected with the people, and that's why they make all these stupid laws and stuff, because they don't know where the people are, nor maybe they don't care, you know, and they think that they're privileged. Look, they're starting to pay attention to us, and that's why we need to get louder, not, you know what I mean, we need to push harder. And so that's what they're talking about. Let's, man, if we could get all these little public broadcasting stations and all these little, you know, these YouTube videos, you know, they mess around too much. We should be, especially with somebody like Donald Trump, we should be working on getting our own YouTubes. We should start a whole new YouTube thing and a whole new tweet thing, something that's not managed by the media. But the technology today, it's not that hard to do. It doesn't cost, I mean, it'll cost money, but somebody of Trump's stature and ability, and there's corporations out there that agree with his message, they like business, they can put money in, we can redefine the internet. We can put in some real uncensored stuff. And I think that's what needs to happen. I think we need to move away from Google. We need to move away from all these managed news medias, and I think that we can do it. And that's one reason I don't think they'll ever get rid of the internet, because I think there's too many hackers and crackers. I don't think they can do it. I don't think they can shut the internet off if they want to. I think that's all a bunch of baloney. I think there's so much cops and robbers stuff out there, unless they're going to shut the electricity off to everybody. And not only that, neither will they want to. Look, their biggest thing is they want to spy. How are they going to spy on us if we're not talking on the internet? I mean, look at Facebook. That's the biggest thing the cops use. They love it. But and again, how many times has Facebook brought down an effort of theirs to take somebody out because it went on Facebook and it went viral and they couldn't control it? Because if they're too obvious with their censoring, people get mad, and it becomes obvious what they're doing. So, like, if they're censoring Trump's tweets, that's a good thing. You know why? Because it'll piss people off. That's why. So they really, to tell you the truth, that was a dumb move, a very dumb move. But right on the corners.
Well, he made it very specific in the speech. He says, we're through with big government, big pharma, and so on. And he says, we're going back to we, the people, the Constitution, and the Bill of Rights.
We got to protect him, because I didn't think he would ever come out so strong. And that's what, you know, that's where we're at. We have to decentralize all this stuff. Look, even our power generation, that should all be being started. They should be localizing that stuff. We should be having local power stations. We shouldn't be having big government. Everything should be run by we the people, and it should all be decentralized. And so if he's preaching that now,
Well, that's
wonderful.
Who was the speaker then?
That was Pence at CPAC.
Okay. Pence, okay, yeah.
A very powerful speech. Very, very, very powerful. If he does everything that, and they're showing they are, but if they carry through with everything he stated, and I have reason to believe they will, things are happening very, very fast.
Well, you know, the other thing that's going to happen is you're going to start seeing people are going to be able to make money again. See, we've been so oppressed and depressed, you know, when they release some of this government control where you can't do anything, you can't move, the money will start freeing up, you know. I just hope that they keep the dollar going and they don't create some kind of major panic or something just to get at Trump, because, you know, he's hitting at the heart of them, and believe me, they're panicking, and there's nothing they won't do to get rid of him right now. You know, I mean, they want World War so bad to distract him from working on the country. They're doing whatever they can do to make some kind of a false flag. Just beware, you know.
Hey, Gerard. You just mentioned World War, and I'm thinking that is one possible scenario. But what do you think about the possibility of that American Spring that Soros, Obama, and the ilk through that the OPA organization that Obama's leading? What do you think the possibility that things will get so far out, freaky, and radical starting this spring through summer and fall that some potential Jade Helm martial law type scenarios might try to come down to get, you know, discredit Trump's presidency or what have you?
Well, look, you know they're going to try. You know they're not going to go down with a fight. But those people are all known. You know what I mean? Everybody, they're starting to be exposed, and they're actually a minority. You know, and once people key into that, we'll do like a neighborhood watch. When those people show up at rallies and stuff, people have to start taking control of their own security. When you see people like that, you know, look at, that's why we need to free up the gun laws, free up everybody to do the right thing. You jump on them critters and you throw them in the back, we tie them up ourselves, you know what I mean, and haul them into the police station. George Soros should be in chains before summer. He should, look at, he's an enemy of the state. Trump has already declared it. It's only a matter of time before somebody picks him up and he needs to be thrown in jail. He's a Nazi war criminal. He admitted it himself. They got tapes. I don't know if you've seen it, where he helped take the, you know, put people in the camp. So he's a war criminal. He could be in jail tomorrow. I don't know what they're waiting for, but I think that that's what's going to happen. And as far as Obama and Hillary and all of them, Donald Trump has all the evidence on them, and he can pick them up tomorrow too. I think he's just biding his time to make sure he's got prosecutors and judges in place, because everything is so corrupt. I think he would have arrested them and tried them already, except for we have to clean up somebody's court, all of these courts, but we got to get some prosecutors and judges in place that can actually prosecute these idiots. So
you know,
I don't think they're going to have any. I think they're going to be leaving when they realize that he's starting to get a foothold. They're going to run. They're going to be like rats from a sinking ship. They're going to run out of the country and hide. That's
speaking
my prediction.
Yeah, I agree with you. And speaking about him getting enough staff and cabinet and judicial people in place to do all that, I heard another talk show today where a very interesting thought I thought would be very. He should literally, because there's so many Obama leftovers and then people that he can't trust within his own party and his own picks, but he should literally fire one department at a time, virtually everybody in there, make them reapply, vet them out, and find out who's really going to work with him and assist him in government, and one department by one do that. He's got the power and authority to do that, and then he can finally try to get the kind of people that'll work with him. But I think he's got plants and people that he's even appointed that are either not getting him information properly or that are misinforming him or that are just part of the establishment that he can't really trust right now. So I think those are some other things that he's doing.
Well, I do believe that he's giving them enough rope to hang themselves. And sometimes I see him doing stuff and I go, what the heck you got that guy with him for? And then the guy goes out and does something stupid. And then he gets rid of him. And I think he was just giving them a chance to show their true colors. And I think he's thought this out pretty good. I think he's pretty smart. And I think that, you know, at some point, especially as NLA moves forward with our paperwork and stuff, look at, he can turn around and point to us and say, look at, this is the common law grand jury, what Scalia was talking about. We're going to go with them. Look at people, you have to fix yourself. You have to pick your own grand juries, and you have to do your own indictments, and you have to run them through the courts. But it's going to be up to him to make sure, you know, that these judges and these prosecutors we have. Well, it's up to us too, because look at, you got a bad prosecutor as a common law grand jury, we can indict them. So it's going to be up to the people. So all he's got to do is point his finger our way and say, that's the way we're going to go. I like NLA's plan. It's constitutional. Scalia wrote about it. It's definitely the plan. Go ahead and do it. Give us the go ahead. It's all over. If the people came out and started actually picking the juries and making sure that, you know, it wasn't the government going after the people that it was, you know, and no injured party, no crime. They're done overnight. It's that easy. And it's only a matter of time. I think he's just laying the groundwork. You're going to see stuff happen real fast this summer. And I can see Obama and Hillary and Soros being out of the picture, in jail, either on trial or in hiding. That's my prediction.
In line with what you just said, he might be waiting for the fact that I understand four Supreme Court justices are about to be incarcerated.
Boy, wouldn't that be nice?
What?
Evil people.
They're not incarcerated.
And then he gets to pick four new ones that are actually going to rule on the law, right?
Right.
With that, we could turn everything around now, couldn't we?
Actually, he has a choice of five. If they arrest four, one he has to fill for Scalia, and the other four, if it's true, I think it's pretty accurate information from what I can detect. And that's supposed to happen next week.
Do you ever think it would be a time when we could even be discussing this stuff?
No, not at all.
Yeah, it's practically, you know, it's unbelievable. We're living like in a miraculous time here as far as things changing around. But, you know, it's time, because if it wasn't for this, we're right on the precipice of disaster here, you know, and hopefully the rest of the world is with us, and I think they are. I'll be honest with you. I think that they've had enough garbage. I think America went out and did enough things to the rest of the world that they're tired of the baloney, and I think they support us. I think they're always looking for America for freedom. I don't think we've always been that beacon of light, and I think that just like fractional reserve banking, they all got a fractional reserve of freedom depending on what America had, and America was about to fall, you know? And I think that, you know, we pick ourselves up and dust ourselves off. I think we can spread this around the whole world because, you know, we're not the only common law country in the world. We just this should spread. This should spread like a virus, you know, like a good virus, if there's such a thing, you know. It really needs to, and I think it will, and I think it already has. And I think he has the support of a lot of countries. You know, CNN's not going to tell us that, but I think that's what's going on. I think the rest of the world is really with us, and they're tired of all the wars. They're tired of all the bloating. They're tired of the economy not being good and all the oppression. So I think, you know, I think this is a very good time for this.
I agree. Evidently, there's 190 countries in accordance with it.
Well, we have been in 160 countries that I know of, you know, through the UN and all that baloney, and we haven't been doing good over there necessarily. I mean, yes, but now with the paradigm shift, we can actually, you know, spread some good influence, you know. I mean, we've lost a lot of credibility in the world, you know. I was always so embarrassed of the Bushes, especially too. I was ashamed the way he used to speak in different countries. And Obama was no better, you know. In China, they call him the monkey man. I mean, he just, you know, it was ridiculous, you know. It was hard to be proud to be American with them idiots running the nation, you know. So, you know, now, you know, it's we have a lot more credibility, and whether they like Donald Trump or not, the very least they'll do is they'll respect him because he says what he's going to do and he does what he says. Do what you say or say what you do. I mean, you know, and that was there were some Russian presidents like that too, very very matter of fact and stern, and people, you know, you get a certain respect just from that. Even if you're not 100% right, people know that you're talking the talk and walking the walk, you know? If you're my friend, you're my friend. If you're my enemy, you're my enemy. But you know, nobody likes a warm guy that's like a snake slithering around. You know, say what you mean or mean what you say. And I think that's where we're at.
And I think those countries, many of them, especially Europe, I think they understand the American people are good. It's just the banking system and our government that's a rogue.
And don't forget, it's all the same banking system. It's worldwide. They've decimated every country. They've played
right.
The central bank thing with everybody, and everybody's sick of them. And we need to rout them. They need to be gone out of every country. We can't even let them have a foothold anywhere anymore. You know what I mean? We got to straighten our country out, and everybody else has to look at us and do the same. And, I mean, look at the first one to do it, I think, was who was it who kicked all the banks out? Greenland or Iceland? Kicked all the central bankers out. So that's it. We're not part of that system. Boom. It was that easy, you know?
Yeah, and Spain just started arresting bankers, too.
God bless them all. Well, let's
so
keep it going.
They're in the same game, like I said, there's a lot of countries involved, and some more so than others, of course, but we're seeing it with Brexit, and Le Pen is running strong in France, and the Netherlands is doing well, the guy that's running there, and unless they get dusted off, it appears they'll get into office like Trump did, so things are changing very quickly, very quickly.
Yeah, so it's not time for us to sit on our hands. It's time for us to really move ahead because it's easier now for us than it's ever been. My goodness,
sure.
As little as a couple of years ago, you know, you couldn't say 9/11 was a false flag. My goodness, that was almost treason. You know?
Yeah.
And now it's almost like it's common knowledge. You know, you had to say, you couldn't even say it. You had to say, gee, what happened to Building 7? You had to beat around the bush to get there. You know, no pun intended, beat around the bush. That's how you get there. You had to beat around the George Bush to get there, right? So now it's like everybody understands that, you know, the day I saw that building go down, I said, that's a bunch of bull poopy right there. I said, that's a demolition. I don't care what anybody says. You know, I'm not stupid. You know, how stupid can we be? I guess we can be pretty stupid because we believe everything, anything that they say, that the talking head says, everybody was lulled and brainwashed into believing because it was on the television. You know, and they didn't do such a good job either. You know, they're announcing that Building 7 fell and it didn't even fall yet. That's how stupid they are. You know?
Yes, sir.
There's so much evidence out there. It's not even funny. And they've been doing it from way, way back. And you know, I look at even as much as I hate to say it, even Pearl Harbor was a false flag. I don't know if you guys know that, but I grew up knowing that. My parents knew that. They knew that. They knew that the Japanese were coming, and that you know we didn't want to get in the war, and they knew that they had to have bloodshed on our soil, and so he let them come in. And he moved all the good, the ships that got destroyed in Pearl Harbor were all ships that were due to be decommissioned anyway. And that whole thing, all those men dying and all that stuff was just to get us into World War II. And so there's nothing new under the sun, just remember that. And they don't change their MO. They keep doing the same thing over and over. We keep buying it and buying it. We keep eating it. And, you know, look it, back then we were naive. Look at when Kennedy got shot, listen to the speech he made about the covert governments and stuff. I said to my parents, I said, after he made that speech, why wasn't everybody screaming and yelling about what's going on? But you know what? Everybody was in shock and nobody wanted to think about it. It was just beyond imagination and nobody could go there. Look at, he spelled it out. He spelled it out in his speech. And then they killed him. My goodness. It's like, it's almost like he predicted his own death. You know, that you can't even talk about these people, he said, you know, and they killed him. And look, it took it. I mean, he put them back quite a few years, he did, but Kennedy, that is. But it took us a long time to catch on, and what happened is we gave them enough rope until they hung themselves is what happened. We allowed them to do things that got to the point that finally people could no longer keep their head in the sand and start pulling their head out. You know, like architects and engineers, you know, they went around, they said, this is bullcrap. You know, they started fighting the whole 9/11 thing, you know. I mean, how stupid are we? We got a president, and the vice president has the biggest corporations in the world making the most money off of the false flag wars that the president is putting us into. He's back there whispering in George Bush's ear. He's running the country, and he's over there with all the military contracts collecting all the money. I mean, the guys couldn't even, when they were in Iraq and that over there, in Afghanistan, they had to use the military contractor to do their laundry, who was under, which was under one of Cheney's groups over there. And they could get a local guy to do their laundry for, let's say, $6, and the military contractor was doing it for 24. But if they got caught using the local guy, they would be court-martialed. Imagine that. Talk about having a captive, you know, audience or whatever you want to call it, or a monopoly. And as the American people were sitting there with a vice president making money on the wars with no evidence, no declaration of war from Congress, no weapons of mass destruction, all the bullcrap, and they just go, and the talking heads on television, and we let them carry us away. We have to stop it now, and we are stopping it. And part of that is us getting into these technologies and these medias and pushing back. Every time they push us, we need to push back. They put a stupid article out like that one today. We need to come in and say, look, this is baloney. Look, people, look what they're doing. We need to expose them because that they only work good in the dark. We've proven that with our court watcher system. When we have people in court, what happens? The judges start caving, don't they? Because they don't want records of what they're doing because they know, especially now, we should really be building up our committees of safety and our court watcher systems in our counties because we have Donald Trump has given us credibility and clout. These judges are worried about getting called on the carpet now. They never worried about that before. If they go in and arrest 4 Supreme Court judges, that alone is almost enough to chill the whole thing and straighten the whole system out because all those judges up there, all them evil bastards in their black robes will behave themselves, won't they? Because they'll have to hold to the Constitution now, won't they? So it's up to us to keep that pressure on. Yes.
Hey, Gerard, let me get page 2. Okay. Let me tell you a story.
Yeah,
back in the mid-60s, and I think this is another one of Kennedy's doings, but we'd go up to Annapolis in the summertime, pick up all the middies, okay, a bunch of ships. We'd go on a 6-week North Atlantic cruise and hit real awesome ports like Portsmouth, England, and the Normandy coast, D-Day ports, and it was just an awesome cruise, okay, in the height of the Civil War, okay, back then, the American ships, they're out patrolling, they're making maneuvers against Russian ships and la-di-da-di-da-di-da, okay, one of the ports we had to go to was Stockholm, Sweden. About 8 o'clock in the morning, we pull into the Baltic Sea, okay, this little Russian frigate comes up alongside, and they start signaling with the lights. Good morning, Captain. Good-looking ship, good-looking crew. Enjoy your cruise here in the Baltic Sea. Have a good day. And then the boatswain come on, he says, attention to starboard, hand salute, 2. We paid our respects. This is what honorable nations do. This is what honorable military people do. Right now, they're over there trying to make a war with the Russians, and wah, wah, wah. Russian bigs flew over a destroyer, and all this crap all over again. Let me tell you what. I was in the Cuban blockade when two world leaders, when push comes to shove, cool heads prevail, and they back off. We've been an ally with Russia since World War II, and there's no way in hell they're good with the Russians, okay? I lost my train of thought, but anyway... Not one time we drank beer and partied with Russian sailors in Beirut, Lebanon. When about 20 of us walked in this open beer garden, there's a bunch of Russian sailors sitting there, and we look at each other, oh God, oh no. So I was one of the old salts for that time. Then I went over and. And then an older Russian sailor was sitting there with some stripes on his arm. And I go over and I look down his eye. And he gets a twinkle in his eye, you know. And I look down and I say, Khrushchev sucks. And he says, Johnson's a SOB. We sat there and partied and traded hats. And we were comrades. We bonded big time. It is not the people that causes a war. It's the governments. And when the people stand up and say no, that war, you know, we have got the upper hand. And with Trump in now, we do have the upper hand. And I've got to watch that Pence speech because I've listened to all the Trump speeches for many years, every time I got real depressed, I'd go on YouTube and I'd watch some of the old Kennedy speeches, his inaugural speeches. He was another one that he'd give a speech and he'd inspire everybody and give a speech with the truth. He'd have goals you know, it's just awesome to listen to these guys, and I see that in Trump. I see the same thing in Trump. I remember one time when Kennedy started first having pressers in the White House, that the reporter gets up and he says, "Well, now tell us about that affair you had with Marilyn Monroe." John F. Kennedy chewed him up and spit him out. And when right. Trump did the same thing, that reminded me of John F. Kennedy. They don't see the press think, now we got to be the voice for the president, and we're going to tell everybody what we think. Well, they didn't do it with Kennedy, and they're not going to do it with Trump. No way.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm done.
Hey, Ollie. Well,
yeah.
Yeah, you make some interesting points, though, about Russia and how they want to make him a boogeyman and everything like that. And then you mentioned Kennedy. That just makes me think, and this is not news to you guys, I know, but, you know, a lot of people believe the reason he was assassinated because he was threatening the military-industrial complex's game, and they have to have a boogeyman. If we're not enemies with Russia, then we got to be enemies with somebody, because the whole CIA scheme, the whole military-industrial complex scheme rests on us having the threat either imminently or immediately to have to go to war with someone to keep that machine going and running. So when you got a president that doesn't want to go along with that, guess what? He's public enemy number one to the deep state, to use the popular colloquial term today. But yeah, that's my two cents worth.
What do you think ISIS and Al-Qaeda were all about?
I know.
Because everybody was off Russia. They had to create something.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? They need.
And now that we've exposed that, you're right. Now it's got to be Russia. Yep.
Yeah, they're going back to Russia because they don't know how to get off a theme. You know what I mean? They can't change their MO at all. They need the boogeyman. They don't care who it is or where it's from. But you know, I mean, they'll pay that little Jung Kim down there, or whatever his name is, to rattle his saber when it gets too quiet. And believe you me, that's the only reason he's there, to rattle his saber when things get too quiet.
You know? Well, I for one would rather have a Red Dawn scenario on our own soil than a world war. So, I mean, if we got to have one or two diversions, if they're going to throw that at Trump to try to dismantle this whole populist uprising and people starting to wake up and come back to things, I'd rather see a Red Dawn scenario where we just start wasting a bunch of these people and just going gung-ho on our own.
Other countries would help us. They'd come to the aid of the Patriots. They would. It's never going to happen, I don't think. It's too crazy. We got too many guns in too many people's hands here. It would be a horrible guerrilla warfare that wouldn't go away for 100 years. I mean, they would be cutting their own throats. You know what I mean? It would be mm-hmm. ridiculous. I mean, not that they wouldn't do it, because when you have people like Hillary Clinton, who are evil, who are the epitome of evil, she's the type of person that would push the button just because she's mad or jealous that she didn't get what she wants. If I can't have it, nobody can have it. She would do that. She
oh, my God.
She'd start World War III just because she's being beat. You know what I mean?
I'm thinking we would have already been there if she'd have gotten elected, huh?
I'm telling you, it was we were right on the edge, the very edge. But look, I got a phone call to make. I can leave this on. I forgot. It's already after 10. I can leave this up. I got to go and make the phone call. I'll come back if you guys want to talk a little longer.
It's up to those guys. I know we're all just chatting, but no, that's fine.
Yeah. Yeah.
Let me tell you a joke, and I'll tell you at the point we're at right now. Go back to the old days. This young Raj kid goes riding into town, goes to the local saloon. He's in there, you know, and he's only about 5'4", so he goes in there, gets a few beers in, and he wants to fight everybody in the place. So somebody goes out and paints his horse's testicles purple. Okay. So he goes out. He slams the swinging doors back open, and he says, "Okay, which one of you assholes painted my horses purple?" And this big tall dude steps up, and he says, "I did. What are you going to do about it?" And he says, "Well," he says, "I just want to let you know they're dry and they're ready for the second coat." But we are at that point right now where Trump or somebody's got to stand up and say, "I did. What are you going to do?" There's lies and bluff and fantasy, all we need to do is stand up and say, "Hey, what are you going to do?" We're at that point.
I really agree with you, too, because I think Trump's smart enough to know that he can't make the same mistake Kennedy did and try to take on the establishment on his own. I don't think Kennedy had the backing and the support, but Trump's waiting to, A, get the cabinet that Gerard was talking about and enough staff that'll work with him and his system in government, and then, B, he's got to know and then act on the willingness of the people to side up with him, which is what we're all about. But, yeah, I mean, sometimes I wondered you know, yeah, he's read the papers that John and Gerard and all you guys have sent him, but why in the hell is he not calling us or having somebody in his administration call us? I mean, I know it's only a month in and everything, but I'm like, what's the delay here? It should be like lights on. Okay, great. This is a huge organization that I can empower to work with me and multiply their numbers like immediately, and it's just like nobody's contacting us. What's the deal? You know, it just bothers me.
Well, here's the thing. We're in the middle of a spiritual mission, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Right now, we're in the big battle between the evil that has controlled this planet for the last 200 or 300 years. Time is very critical. I've been in this mission for 2 or 3 years now, and I'll get a notion to call somebody, or I'll get a notion to introduce somebody to somebody else, and bing bang. And when I do it, the timing was very, very critical. It just blew my mind. Why did I get that urge at that time? Okay, now, Dave, what's going on with the ninth district has screwed him big time already. He knows, and he he mentioned in his last presser speech about the 80% reversals going in the Supreme Court. So he's familiar with the 9th District Court, okay? And he's I know he's got investigations going and all this with Sessions. However, he is one of those that he's not gonna walk in and just start throwing punches. He's gonna back off. He's gonna watch films of his adversary. He's gonna investigate. He's gonna know his strengths and weaknesses. And when he walks in and throws that punch, it's gonna be all over. It's gonna be done. It's going to be done. And I think when he decides to move against the 9th District and some of these court systems, and I firmly believe that he will use the NLA in one form or another. You know, he's looking for people to stand up. He's looking for people with solutions. He's looking for people with ideas. And I firmly believe that we will play a major role in taking the court systems back. I really believe that. But it's not quite time yet, is all I can say. It's not quite time yet.
Well, not to sound too much like Alex Jones, but you know how he says the end game's upon us and the New World Order's on the run and everything like that. But that also means that since they're entrenched and in power, they can step up the game and escalate their agenda a lot quicker and faster. So I don't want to say my only fear is, because I know it's a spiritual battle, like you said, Ali, more than anything right now. But the timing's going to have to happen soon for something to happen. One side or the other is going to make some monumental changes soon. But if we start getting this silly American Spring color revolution garbage going on this spring or summer, assuming we don't end up in a world war first, it's going to get radical. And I think you're going to see the militias active and some other things going on as well, which wouldn't necessarily put a damper on what we're trying to do here through the courts and everything, but it sure is going to add some odd twists into things, that's for sure.
Oh, Dan, did you see that either FedEx or UPS guy stopped his truck, waited in, saved the flag, and waited back out? And went back to work. Okay, after that, the cops, the guys, the flag burners, they got arrested. Okay, and I've seen three or four times now where you get in a standoff between the good guys and his riders. The cops don't mess with the good guys, but they always bust the riders. And the cops are no dummies, you know. They know who the good guys are, and if there comes a standoff or a conflict next spring, we have got the advantage, and we will have the numbers. Okay, that's all I can say. And they're so unpopular right now. That's why they're passing these laws. It's, you know, it's legal to run over a protester and this and that. And I don't think there'll be much action this spring at all. Really, if there is, we will have the advantage in the numbers and everything else.
Well, you know, and the only reason I even think it's a concern is because as of right now, Obama and his OPA organization, you know, supposedly less than a mile away from the White House right now in what he's calling his home, actually has his command and control center set up with all of his activist group cells all over the United States, backed and funded by George Soros and who the hell knows who else, ready to raise literal hell this spring. So, you know, the ability for that to happen is certainly there. Will that be the route that we go? Will things get to the point where we see that? I don't know. And that's where I start tying in, well, the time is of the essence, because there's probably some things Trump can do to circumvent that and mitigate that opportunity for them to really act on that. And if that's the case, we're probably within the next 30 days going to see a whole hell of a lot of head-turning things going on that I don't even think we can imagine right now.
I think there's going to be a whole lot of people go on Craigslist and collect their $2,500, but they won't, when it comes to time, they will not go past go. They'll turn and go the opposite way.
They will not pass go. They will not collect their $200. You will not collect that George Soros paycheck and go on the street and start throwing Molotov cocktails. Oh, okay.
We are in interesting times. We are watching biblical events happening right before our eyes, and a lot of people they're not even aware of it. But this is the most changing part of human history right now. In this century, we are going to go through a huge spiritual awakening. And the education systems, we know it's going to be gone. Centralized banking is going to be gone. The monetary system is going to be on. They're gone. We're going through the end of the world, like it says in the Bible. But it's not destruction of the world. It's destruction of evil and the old ways. We're going into a new, like I say, a great spiritual awakening.
I hope
I get to see some of it at my age. You know, I doubt if I will. But
you're not that old yet.
Yeah, but
you're not that old yet. You got some years left in you. You got too much fire in you. You know, speaking of Bible prophecy, though, did you hear that Nikki Haley get in front of that international security conference here? There's a YouTube video about her basically reiterating what Donald Trump said about we're 1,000% going to stand up for Israel and support Israel and defend Israel and everything else. So, yeah, that in my mind, when I think of Bible prophecy, I'm tying in with that. The fact that we're allying with Israel now and almost doing a 180 from where Obama was taking us will definitely kind of tend to speed up those kind of activities. But, yeah, you know, and that's just my perception there. But I'm definitely for it, and you know, I mean that we support them and stand by them. Look, they got their problems. They're not perfect. They've got a deep state of their own in Israel, just like we do here in the United States. That has caused a lot of chaos around the world, just like our CIA has, their Mossad has as well. But you know, they're really about the only true ally we've got left in the world. So I think it's good that we our government is you know, taking that bold stance.
I see nothing but good times ahead, and the main deals you can do against evil is this: truth, logic, and love. You spread that. You spread hope, faith, and love to anybody, and you're undefeatable. You're undefeatable, and that's what we got to do. It's just like that with our news channel. We got to be positive, give solutions, and you know, we got to talk to the Trumpers, and we got to give the Trumpers ideas. And here's the thing, you know, these young kids on YouTube, they're out there for to make a name. That they're shock jocks, you know, that the sky is falling and all this and that. For a while, me and Gerard was going on like Tal Pollard. He would talk about COS and I'd talk about sheriffs, what the sheriffs are supposed to do. So we made a lot of progress, and that's what this show's going to be. We're not in there to make names. We are there to promote ideas and promote our country, and that's what it's going to take at this time. And it's got to be set up right, and we're going to get set up, and that's what we're going to do. We're going to promote solutions and pro Constitution. And you know, it will go viral. It will spiral. It will evolve into something. And I'm excited about it. So anyway, I'm done.
No, I am too. If you guys are ready to go, I know we're just chit chatting here. This is unusual to be able to do this on all our structured calls. I appreciate y'all hearing and talking. Yeah, I know you're. When you guys get the studio up and going and start doing interviews and some broadcasts and things, that's going to have a tremendous positive impact for giving people some hope as far as their interfacing within LA goes, for sure. Start turning on the lights and letting people know, hey, there's something we can do to make a difference. Just like John, you know, always likes to say on Monday nights. So anyway, gentlemen, I will let you go. In some places, I know it's a little bit later than it is where I'm at. God bless you. Y'all have a good evening.
I just got one thing I want to tell everybody. And that's
go ahead.
There's another video upload you can use, vid.me, vid.me, another platform to put the videos on.
I heard about that. Who was that that said that they have a video on there? One of the guys I watch on YouTube uses that. He's getting
End
ready to
Time
expose. Absolutely. Remember, did you hear that he's getting ready to expose the Pizzagate and Pettigate stuff with a video series? But he said some of it he knows is already going to get censored out of YouTube, so he's going to have to go through the vid.me.
Yeah, so
I
got to
watch that because
him on vid.me. So it's another platform, at least something out there that maybe isn't got the Google algorithms yet or anything to censor everybody. So that's just another platform.
That guy, that End Times News guy, he is one heck of an investigative journalist. I've been just watching his videos only over the last week, and boy, that guy's got it going on as far as, you know, his ability to really dig in, find the truth about something to research, but, you know, connect the dots too. The way he connects the dots in his videos is just very concise, very informed, you know, a lot of facts, a lot of research you can tell he puts into it. And but boy, that series is getting ready to come up on vid.me. Probably not going to be something you want to have the children around to watch, that's for sure.
Yeah, especially some of the stuff he said in his little preview.
Oh yeah, I mean,
the screaming voices was pretty good just to begin with.
It's going to be nutty, but you know, I believe that stuff does need to be exposed, and there's a lot of the demons.
If they got rid of that, if they could prosecute that end of this, I think all of our troubles would go away in the government because they'd be running like cockroaches.
I agree with you, because this is my personal feeling about things, and it's hard to prove it simply because that's, you know, it's the dark government behind us. But the CIA would not have the control over our elected, a lot of our elected and public officials and non-elected public officials that are guilty as being part of that, you know. But they've got so much dirt on people that are involved in this at all levels of local government, all the way up on national, that are involved in this Pizzagate pedophile child sex trafficking garbage, and shame on those people for being involved in it. But the CIA, they're depending on having that blackmail information to control these people and continue to push their agenda forward. And
it's been going on forever. I mean, the Mossad's got their fingers in it, and the CIA's mm-hmm. got their fingers in it. It's just, you know, what they don't realize is some people may even actually had, you know, been slipped the roofies and thrown in a room, and then they blackmail them by throwing trained children on them that are, and so they have compromised positions then.
Well, here's something that a few people probably wouldn't agree with me on, and I don't know if it's true yet or not. Just have heard this from some people like the End Times News Report guy, but apparently one of the biggest reasons Flynn was really forced to resign is that one of the people he was about ready to expose through some Pettigate and Pizzagate type stuff, pretty high person in government, is one of Pence's best friends.
Oh.
And
too.
And if that's true, that's incredible. That's a sad indictment on Mike Pence and what he's portraying himself to be and what he really is. Now, again, don't quote me as saying, oh, Dave Custer's spreading all this rumor. I think it's plausible. Because my gut tells me that Pence is an establishment guy, really.
Pass the sniff test for me initially, so.
Why else do they love him so much? I mean,
exactly.
There's people that go gaga over that
Trump
guy.
I think Trump had to play the best chess game he could with what players he had, and that was probably a good compromise for him for now. So hopefully he doesn't get assassinated.
Okay,
yeah,
last question.
Yeah,
is that Pence speech on YouTube at CCAP?
If you go to YouTube and search for Pence speech of 223 17, and there'll be a couple of videos.
Say that again. You're awful low. I have a hard time hearing you. Say that
okay.
again.
Just go to YouTube and put in the search bar CPAC, Pence speech at CPAC, February 2/23/17, and it'll pull it up.
Okay, thanks. I got to watch that, yeah.
You're going to enjoy
okay,
that.
Okay, I'm done, guys. I'm going to hang up. But hey, good talking to y'all again. And
well, have a good night, everybody.